He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points, joined on this fine Wednesday afternoon by Brian Kamenetsky. He is my favorite Kamenetsky brother of the moment. He hosts Locked On Lakers.
Everybody's favorite Kamenetsky is whichever one is in front of him at the time that they need at that particular moment. I get it. It's fine.
How many times have you heard that joke? Like, is that one of those things?
Oh, it's pretty common. Like, I don't know if you have a lot of brothers or sisters. I like all of them more than you, but that's sight unseen.
I have two. And the younger one I get, the middle one I'd be a little tweaked, but the younger one I get. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about, and this is kind of part one of a two-part crossover thing that we're doing between the Lakers Lounge and Locked On Lakers. This one, we're going to kind of set up the kind of like the conversation we had yesterday with Raj, where it's hopes, expectations, and concerns heading into the draft. I also, just a second ago, reported that the Lakers and Heat have continued in their conversations about a potential Andrew Wiggins trade. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And then after the draft tonight, I will be going on Locked On Lakers to talk about whatever had just happened. So busy, fun day. Brian, you and I, just like Raj and I yesterday, know maybe like four names going into the draft.
No, I know one.
You know what?
Well, actually, it's not true. I know three, but it's only because I've heard two of them since then. Like, I obviously know who Cooper Flagg is.
Okay.
I know who Dylan Harper is. People were saying, oh, the Spurs are going to take Dylan Harper.
Yeah.
And I know who Ace Bailey is. I have never seen any of them play, including Cooper Flagg. I steadfastly do not watch college basketball because – I mean, for people who, you know, there are people who run around thinking the NBA product is a tough watch. You try college. I'm not doing that with my time.
I can't. It's hard. It's legitimately hard for me to watch. It's really, really hard. This was the first year. Normally, my friends and I will go to Vegas for the first like weekend of March Madness. And this year was the first year that we didn't go. And I realized how much of my interest in that first weekend of March Madness is solely predicated off of gambling.
100%. The minute you stop, like you have like a, don't have a work pool that you can enter.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden you just truly do not care about the tournament at all.
And that's usually like the extent of my pre-draft workout. Now if the Lakers have a pick, normally I will do a little bit of work about who the Lakers, you know, might be looking at, who's in that window of who might go where and stuff. This year they have the number 55 pick. So I just, you know,
first of all, it's not until tomorrow. Second of all, I mean, like, I don't know who they're going to draft at 55 in like every sense of that statement. I don't know who they're going to drive. They're going to come up with a person that I've not heard of. And I'm going to do what we always do.
Congratulations on being selected with the number 55 pick, right. Brian, way to go.
We're going to call, you know, people who have covered that athlete.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out information about, because like you talk about, like you may be doing a little scouting if the Lakers have a pick or whatever, but to me that always gets you in more trouble. It's like all of a sudden I'm going to swoop in with my opinion of a guy that I saw play twice, you know, in March Madness and have, you know, big, you know, capital letters, big opinions about whether or not the Lakers are making a huge mistake. Like, you need to watch these guys play all the time. You need to see them in their workouts. You need to see how they're going to be used at the pro level. And like, there's just no amount of college basketball watching that I can do that prepares me to do it. Like the people who actually do that for a living.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't do the big opinions thing either. Totally.
For college, no.
No, but yeah, so today on the show, we're going to do, like I said yesterday, Raj and I put together our hopes, dreams, expectations, kind of a thing. And then I think we should probably, the whole reason a lot of people are here right now, I think, is because of the Wiggins thing that I just talked about or that I just tweeted about. So maybe we'll reverse the order here and we'll go back to the expectations and draft day here in a bit. So we'll go ahead and start with that. I'll just go ahead and say that I reported the other day that the Lakers had checked in on Miami to ask like what the general price would be on Andrew Wiggins. The Lakers obviously have that relationship with Pat Riley. You know, Jeannie Buss and Pat Riley have that close friendship, and you know, Kurt Rambis, you mm-hmm. know, and that conversation has then advanced to actual trade talks. I would frame them as, I wouldn't say that anything is imminent. I wouldn't say that they are close on anything, but there is certainly enough smoke here swirling that I think it's worth kind of talking about. And Brian, the reason I find this interesting here is because, you know, the Lakers went into this offseason talking about their core, right? Their core of obviously Luka, LeBron, Austin. And then for some reason, Rui was involved in some of those, in some of the framing there. And, you know, some of the stuff that I had heard was that the Lakers were kind of reluctant to break up that, again, air quotes, core. I just don't know, like, if you're including Rui in those core talks, I think that's really kind of stretching the definition of a core. This feels like a pretty good use of Hachimura's expiring contract to me.
I think Rui, this is sort of one of these. It's like, we all know who everybody is here. Like, Rui is a player that had value to them, shot the ball very well last year.
Yeah.
Was a major offensive catalyst. His defensive shortcomings were well known. He didn't get any better especially as a rebounder. Yeah. I mean, they certainly knew. You know, he didn't improve necessarily as a rebounder, and like, you just sort of know what it is. And the Lakers need some of the stuff. Like, they need a wing probably more than they need a semi one-dimensional, good at the dimension, but like, you know, one-dimensional power forward. You know, I think a couple things about Wiggins. First of all, I think he is better than people think he is. Like, he's like the Andrew Wiggins experience of drafted number one and he never became a star and like all these other things and like seeming sort of disappointing. It's easy to forget that he is still not 30 years old, I don't think. Or if he is, he's
just about, I think he's like just crossed that threshold.
So he's been around forever. So like, that's part of it too. It just sort of feels like he's a very good two-way player. Still, he can still score. He'll reproduce Rui's points. Maybe not in the same way, but you can rely on him to give you the same level of.
He actually scored more than Rui last year.
He did, but I mean, you know, and you know, he just won't do it as proficiently from 3-point range. He's a better two-way player, and I think what we learned in the playoffs is that it's not so much you need size, you need this, you need centers, you need, but what you really can use are two-way players. And, you know, Indiana had tons of them. Oklahoma City had tons of them. And you can cover a lot of sins for the rest of the roster when you can stack up three or four guys who can score a little bit for you and also defend. So where you're not doing this sort of jigsaw puzzle thing where every lineup change necessitates five others. That's where the Lakers have been for the last couple of years.
To me, it's also that the Lakers have so many guys who defend power forwards naturally, right? You have Luka, who's best off guarding power forwards. You have LeBron, who is probably best off guarding power forwards. You have Dorian, who at this stage of his career is probably best off guarding power forwards. They didn't have anybody. Anthony Edwards' primary defender in that series was Austin, and that's just, you know, you're putting Austin in an impossible spot there,
right?
Yeah, you know, and coming out of that series, the talk has been like, trade Austin. You got to get rid of Austin. You got to do this with Austin. And a lot of it is because like he was miscast by necessity, by, you know, into that role of primary defender of Anthony Edwards. Some of the best defenders in the league wouldn't be able to do that. And I think the nice thing about Wiggins here is that you take Rui, who primarily, again, defends power forwards and is better at that, and turn him into somebody who is better guarding twos and threes, which is something the Lakers just did not have last year.
And it takes, and it slots LeBron down too, which is important. So, I mean, and this is all predicated too on the idea that they're going to find a center somewhere. But like, if I had to choose between Andrew Wiggins and Rui Hachimura going into next season, I will take Wiggins. And I don't think it's a particularly hard choice. And I like Rui. I think it's great how Rui really established himself as a valuable player in the league over the last couple seasons. But like, you know, I mean, I don't, without getting too deep into like the extension eligible arcane rules of the CBA, it's not like we've been flooded with the Lakers are trying to figure out how to work out a long-term deal with Rui Hachimura.
Yeah.
So he's like part of the core. I mean, come on, like that's silly.
Yeah. I was just going to say, normally if you're considering somebody a core part, there would be a rumor about extension talks, and those just haven't happened right now. Now, I mean, look, like if the Lakers did the thing that, say, Dallas did, where they extended Rui to less than 120% of what he is making right now, and he was still eligible to be traded moving forward, then okay, like that would make some sense. But I don't think,
by the way, it's not a bad idea.
It might even make
that would put Rui at about what, 21 million a year or something like that, give or take.
Yeah.
Which is extremely tradable around the league, you know, for what he does.
And it's funny. I don't know if you've noticed this too. This has been something that has really kind of surprised me growing up and covering the league. Expiring contracts were always this very valuable thing. And I think they're still valuable, but you're also seeing a lot of like pushback to that, where it's like, yeah, but if we trade for this a good player on an expiring contract, we now have to turn around and pay that player. And that turns into a headache immediately, right? When we trade for that player.
I thought this for a few seasons, and I'm, you know, not ahead on a lot of stuff, but I've thought that expiring contracts have always been overvalued, and they've been particularly overvalued by teams like the Lakers. And it's not so much that they don't have any use, but it's also too, it's like, as the pool of teams that are capable of using cap space decreases, it's like you can't, I mean, I, you know, there, there are fewer players that pop up and fewer guys that are out on the market. The market never looks as good as you think it's going to look. And contracts are more valuable. You know, like it's, there's like this lack of creativity and lack of self-confidence. You feel like if you have anybody on your books, that you're not going to be able to make a move. Like cap space, got to hold on to it. Lakers were slaves to that for years.
Yeah.
Like, stop. Like, if you show a little confidence, be able to make a trade, be able to do something to free up room if you have to. And you just like, you know, as opposed to just relying on this avenue of cap, then you also too, you end up overpaying for people who aren't good fits. At the very least, it's not a way to exclusively do business.
What the Lakers have done. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't think expiring deals are worth nearly as much as they used to be. So, especially expiring deals for guys that you might want to keep, but you don't want to necessarily have to overpay. Like, security is much, much better to know how much Nick Claxton's making over the next couple of years, or Daniel Gafford, or whatever. So even if it's a little bit more than you would prefer, it's not, you haven't given up two picks and a swap and, you know, a young player for a guy that you may not want to pay. Like, that's why DeAndre Ayton is such a dicey idea. It's like,
yeah,
what if he plays really well for 46
games? Pay him, yeah.
the 52 games that he plays before he gets hurt, he plays really well.
Yeah.
Now what do? You have to sign him, but you don't want to.
I mean, just ask Phoenix how they felt about that
ordeal.
Yeah, it's funny. I've thought about this a lot with Austin, right? Where last season he was considered this, and he was definitely one of the top value guys in the sport for the amount that he was making. And, you know, the Lakers, I think correctly, well, given how it turned out, because Murray eventually got hurt, but correctly valued Austin above somebody like DeJounte Murray last year. But as soon as that season ended, his value, I think, dropped significantly around the league, because if you trade for an Austin Reeves right now, his contract, you know, is going, he's going to opt out of it next year. And now whatever you gave up to get Austin Reeves, you might lose him outright to free agency, because right, some team's gonna really like some guy who just did 25 and 5.
Yeah, there's a 0% chance he's gonna sign an extension with any team.
No.
Like zero. Yeah. So yeah, I agree with you. Like he is hard to trade. We've done shows on that. Like, it's not that Reeves doesn't have value, but like to make an Austin Reeves trade, you have to find somebody that actually needs him, wants him, needs him, has a hole to fill at the two, and all that kind of stuff. Has stuff the Lakers want in return, and is comfortable with the concept of potentially having Reeves walk. And so that's any, you do this, like anytime you add an obstacle or a reason for something not to happen, it gets exponentially harder to do it. You start piling up two or three or four things that get in the way. Like you're just not going to get a trade. I don't think the Lakers have to trade Austin, but he's harder to trade now than he will be at this time next year after he's got a new contract.
Yeah, one of the complaints that I get whenever I do any kind of reporting on what the Lakers might do is like, well, how many names have you thrown out there that you say they had trade talks on that trade doesn't happen? And it's like, yeah, it's because trades happen far less often than trade talks happen. Like, in, right, inherently. And also
what talks?
Yeah, like, but anyway, let's talk about it, you know, what it would potentially cost or what would be comfortable giving up for Andrew Wiggins. What I've been hearing is that it would again be a Wiggins Rui swap, and wow, that's a fun combination of words, a Wiggins Rui swap, then the Lakers would have to attach one of their larger expiring contracts, whether it's Maxi Kleba or Gabe Vincent. I would try to push for Maxi Kleba, but you know Miami is also going to ask probably for Gabe because he was good there in Miami. So, you know, that'll be part of the discussions. The other part of it is I don't think Wiggins is so good that I would want to give up the 2031 or 32 first rounder for him. Mm-hmm. But Miami is asking for a first. So then I would imagine the Lakers would have to include Dalton Kinect in the trade, which kind of tilts it a little too heavily in favor of Miami, in my opinion. But
although regardless, at that point you're getting to a place where the Lakers would need to also get players back. Like, you know, so you can start to work your way across Miami's roster and see if you can pick off a couple of useful players that, you know, fit what you're trying to do. You know, do they have I'm looking up their roster right now. Like, do they have,
I looked at Kyle Anderson. So the trade that I threw together earlier, and I tweeted it out while I was kind of making some calls or whatever, but the trade that I kind of had outlined was, I should put it on the screen, but I won't. It was Rui Hachimura, Maxi Kleba, Dalton Kinect, and Shake Milton going out for Andrew Wiggins and Kyle Anderson coming back. Anderson isn't quite the player he was a couple of years ago. I thought he was fine, though, in their brief playoff series this year. You do send out
Dalton. He's lost a step.
Which is moving backwards.
How can anyone tell?
But if that's basically what it took to get this done, what would you think about concept of a trade?
I would really try to pry one of their guards away or something. But like, you know, the basic premise of this is like, I sort of think about it like, can the Lakers replace Rui? Well, yeah, I think a lot, you know, Wiggins, provides a lot of the scoring. They'll have to find some shooting. They definitely, it's like when they trade a D-Lo, it's like you lose something, like you got to replace that shooting. They never quite got around to it. But you know, so I see the, you know, the thing there, like, can you find somebody to kind of give you what Gabe did last year? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you can probably do that with some, you know, of your exception or so. Just, and I don't say that because like there are tons of guys out there. I just don't think Gabe was great. He was,
he's very streaky.
You know, he was pretty replaceable. What, you know, and you know, backup point guard is an important job on this team, but it's not as important as it is on other teams where your point guard, where you have, don't have Reeves and Luka and LeBron. Like, you know, you're Gabe Vincent's not a ball handling point guard. Like, that's not what he's doing really anyway. So I don't love, like, you had Connect in there. I don't, you're essentially then sort of doing Connect with for slow-mo. I don't love that part. Connect might, where you are on Dalton, because like,
I'm probably lower than most.
You mentioned this. I think, and I agree with you, I think Lakers fans tend to overvalue him, but the flip side of that is it's almost like if he's devalued around the league, trading him is a bad use of the asset.
Yeah.
Like, let him go play and do better, and then you can trade him.
Well, but then the possibility exists where he doesn't, you know.
But if he's already devalued, like, yeah,
I guess you don't lose anything by him. I mean,
do you think you could trade him for Mark Williams again? The
prospect of him maybe doing better in a different situation.
Like, oh, for sure.